I am a Mozart. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I am a Mozart. I am a Mozart. I am a Mozart. I am a Mozart. Now, what do you mean, Herb, when you say you are a Mozart? Well, Mozart had within him magical music, music that has come down to us through the years as glorious, beautiful, desirable music. And Mozart heard the music within himself, and as he heard the music, he copied it out of his mind by note by note by note until he had the full concert, symphony, or musical score done on a sheet of paper from his mind. Now, I am a Mozart. I have all sorts of beautiful ideas in my mind, and I'm the only one who does this. Nobody else in the world does. I have all the beautiful ideas in my mind about thoughts, for instance. Thoughts are things. And if I look at the thoughts that I have in my mind, and I say, wow, they're cool, they're very nice. And then someone says to me, well, Herb, what do you think about meditation? And so then I start giving them my thoughts about meditation. Now, what are my thoughts on meditation? Are my thoughts on meditation a beautiful symphony, a musical score? Are they a note-by-note description of what I believe meditation is all about? Is that what I believe? Well, listen to my talk on meditation and you'll find out. The thing is, when I have a thought about any idea, the whole score is there, the whole symphony is there behind that thought. Now, if I want to, I can draw upon that thought and say what is in my mind and reveal it outwardly, and I can be like Mozart. I speak without stumbling over my words. I very seldom have words that I don't remember. But when I do have words I don't remember, I tell you I have words that I don't remember, so you can feel superior to me by giving me the words that I don't remember. Instead of you're sitting there judging me as to whether I have the words or not, if you were to sit there and listen to my symphony without judgment. Now, I ask any of you, are any of you a musician, a musicologist? Are any of you able to read music really well? Are any of you able to understand when Mozart hits a wrong note? Well, no, you aren't, because he doesn't hit a wrong note. Now, if you think he hits a wrong note, then your whole listening is out of whack. Your whole awareness of Mozart is out of whack. If you think that Shakespeare is misquoting something or miswriting something, you're not listening to Shakespeare. Because you listen to Shakespeare with absolute sincerity, absolute confidence Shakespeare speaks correctly, absolute awareness that Shakespeare knows what he's talking about. Now, he does. Mozart does. All these great people do, and all the not great people do. When one of you come up to me and you say, Herb, what are we going to do about this? Here we have this paper from the federal government that says we have to do this, that, and the other thing. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I say, well, let me look at the paper. And I look at the paper, and the paper says, do this and this and this, and that's all. And if you have not invested any money in this, then you do nothing. And so I say to the person, did you read the paper? And they say, yes. And I say, well, what did the paper say? I don't know. Well, then you didn't read the paper. Now, I'm not interested in that paper one teensy-weensy little bit. I'm not a Mozart or a Shakespeare interested in what the information of that paper is until you ask me. And then when you ask me, I take an open mind, because that's the only kind of mind you can have that gets you anyplace. I take an open mind and I read the paper to find out what it is that is confusing to you. And so as I have my open mind, I read it carefully, step by step, and I see what has confused you. What has confused you is that you did not read it step by step. You just jumped at certain points of it and were obviously not happy with what those points had to say. Now, you had the intelligence within you, you had the wisdom within you, but you did not have the discipline. You did not have the discipline that when you take something as a responsibility to read the paper, for instance, that you read it. You read it carefully. You read it beautifully and wonderfully. And when you read it beautifully and wonderfully, you get all the facts. Now, if I ask Sylvia to look at something, she'll do an overview of it, and she will come out with all the facts. Now, if I ask Sylvia to read something that she does not appreciate, she will come out with all of the negative aspects of it quickly, forgetting all the positive aspects because she is not interested in that particular thing. So she will come up with something negative. If I say to Ingeborg, I say, Ingeborg, go to your computer and write, take that little card that I gave you with the keys on and practice them. Just practice them. Just practice them. Just practice them. Just again and again and again. And so then I come into Ingeborg later. She says, this didn't work. That didn't work. My keyboard locked up. This locked up. That. And I said, Ingeborg, you are not listening within. You are not following what you know. What did I ask you to do? And she says, well, you asked me to take this card and to practice those keyboards. Well, did you do that? Yes, I did. Well, what else did you do? Well, I tried to erase it when I made a mistake here. Oh, you did you? Well, did I ask you to erase it? No. Then why did you erase it? Because I didn't want it there. Well, I didn't ask you to not want it there. I asked you to just click what I asked you to click. And if I have you click if you will click what I ask you to click, you will make no mistakes. You can't. You will not lock up your keyboard. You will not do all these things. It's only when you go away from what you know you should do. Now, well, I tried to erase it. Well, you shouldn't try to erase it. That's another step. I'll tell you about that tomorrow. And if you start erasing today when you haven't even gotten the idea of how to do it yet, then you're not going to do it happily and harmoniously. And Ellen says, oh, I haven't got time to meditate. I haven't got time to meditate. I can't concentrate. I can't concentrate. And I said, of course you can't. You have allowed your diversion of the kittens to be so total with you that they take 90% of your time, and then 8% of your time you give to your business and your activity, and 2% of your time you give to meditation. Now, that 2% of your time you give to meditation, what is she doing? I have no time to meditate. I have no time. So the 2% that you have for meditation, you're hollering about you have no time for meditation. Well, now you do have no time for meditation, because you're following right through on what the facts are. But you're not alone. You're not alone. If I say, Ellen, tell me the name of your oldest grandson, and without question, without doubt, she speaks his name, I say, what kind of a boy is he? And without doubt, she says some beautiful things. And then I say, why is he beautiful? Why is he wonderful? Without doubt, she goes right in. She is brilliant. She is a Shakespeare. She is a Mozart. She is playing the music of her heart, and all the keys of the music are beautiful and wonderful. And her grandson comes out like some glorious being, you know, some fantastic young man, some utterly amazing, beautiful soul, because she is tuned in to him, to beauty, to goodness. She's tuned into the symphony of, what's his name?
Marcello.
This is the Marcello Symphony. And the Marcello Symphony has every note perfectly in place. The Marcello Symphony is a beautiful symphony that everyone loves to hear. There's no feeling in there of superiority over other people, or that he is just a goody-goody boy. It's just the beautiful life story that is glorious to hear. It's a beautiful symphony. Now, all of us have the capacity to be the Mozart and to be the Shakespeare. We all have that capacity, and we do it. I say, Sylvia, tell me what you're doing at home right now. What work for the university are you working at home? And she cannot think of one single thing. She has to stop and say, she wants to make herself look good by remembering positive things that she's doing. And at the moment, she just can't think of it because she's thinking of all the other things that she's doing, which are not necessarily for the university, but they're for herself or for her world. And so she says, oh, that's tough. And I say to Ellen, why is it you have difficulty with meditation? And she says, my distractions, my this and my that. And I said, no. Ellen, if I say to you, Ellen, your daughter called, and she said that XYZ is ill. Will you treat for XYZ right now? And Ellen says, yes. And immediately she stops doing what she's doing. She's baking a cake. She's ripping up the dough. Or she's doing this here. And she stops right then. Because that most important thing in the world is to speak her treatment for that person. That person, XYZ, I didn't give her a name or it a name, because if I gave XYZ a name, right away emotion would come in. Right away she'd become inept as a practitioner. Right away she'd be working like a surgeon on his child. Mm-hmm. It'd be too hard. So I say XYZ, and Ellen stops. And I say, Ellen, you're going to be called by the tax bureau, and they're going to want to know some money. They're going to want to know some details. And we'll just take a moment and think of what you're going to say and how you're going to handle them. She says, I didn't do this. Stop arguing with yourself. Just say, what do I say to them? And you say to yourself, well, what I say to them is just the truth. Is there anything else you want to say? No. So I say the truth. So what do you do? You pull out your tax folder, and you see the proof, the truth and the proof of the truth right there. And you look at it, and you say, no problem. And so you call the tax bureau, and you say, this is PDQ, and this is ABC, and this is NBC. And these are the facts of these things. They're all in perfect order. And they say, we don't have a copy of PDQ. Would you please send it to us, and that would fulfill our need? And you say, of course, happy to. Now, are you going to say, why didn't I send a copy to? Oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do? You don't do that. You just send them a copy. Somewhere, the copy was inadvertently directed in the wrong direction. It may never have been sent. It may have been sent, but it may have been sent to the wrong address. It could be anything, but you don't care. All they want is a copy, and you send it to them. You are a Mozart. You play the symphony of cooperation. You play the melody that says, all is in divine order. You are note perfect. And you don't dwell upon why it wasn't so, or why it didn't work, or why anything is wrong. You dwell only upon the facts and the truth. Now, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Yes. And if you're ready for that, always think of yourself every moment, either or as Shakespeare or Mozart, and think of yourself as saying, okay, Sylvia said she has this problem for me to work on with her. I am a Mozart. I'm going to give Sylvia Symphony in A. And Symphony in A is the success symphony to accomplish any goal that you want. And so she works with Sylvia on Symphony A. And Sylvia says, wow, that's exactly what I needed, exactly what I wanted. And Ellen says, you're welcome. She doesn't say, how did I know that? Pip, 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 you know. She listened within herself and heard that Sylvia didn't want Symphony D or Symphony X. She wanted Symphony A. And so she gave her Symphony A. And we all know exactly what it is that we need to have, what symphony we need to play, what melody we need to have in our world to bring about peace, right action, to bring about goodness in every way. Now, I'm a Mozart. I'm a Shakespeare. I get up and talk, and I have my topic, and I talk. I haven't the vaguest idea what I'm going to say. I have not any preconceived thoughts. If I tried to think of a preconceived illustration, I mess it up. But I just let go. I let overdrive take over in my consciousness. I let the divine in my consciousness flow out. And occasionally, I'll make a mistake. And the mistake is when I start thinking, is that right? Or when I start thinking, how will I say this? Shut up. Say it. Don't say, how would I say it? Just say it. And when you say it, you're speaking from the divine within you. When you say it, do you think Shakespeare had to stop and think about what he was going to write? He had an idea in his consciousness. He had a symphony in his consciousness, and he wrote it letter perfect. He had an idea in his consciousness. He had a theme, a story, and he wrote it down. And the intricacies of the story were so complex that many people have taken them as the political scene of the day. Other people have taken it as a punch in the nose at them because of their activities. And what he was doing, he was just writing a perfectly beautiful, simple, human story that everyone could hear and read and listen to and delight in. And feel, yes, that is real. Yes, that is valid. Yes, I believe that story. Now, in life, there are two things. There is the adventure, and then there is the person who writes about the adventure. Now, the adventure is true, but much of the adventure you don't believe. You don't believe much of the adventure because it's too good to be true, or it's too simple, or it's too whatever. And that's what's really happening, but you don't believe it. So you write it, and you write it more complex. You write it so that people can see the where's and the why's and the how's that you got to where you're going. And you have made a very complex thing out of a very simple thing, and you thought nothing of it. And the people believed it. The people believed it. But they did not believe the true story. Because the true story was too easy, too simple, too true to be true. I'm like a Shakespeare or a Mozart. I just go directly to the source within me and let it pour out. And if I have people in my audience who are negative or who are contrary to what I'm sharing and what I'm teaching and what I'm talking about, if I listen to them, and I can, if I listen to them, it upsets my apple cart. So I don't listen to anybody. I just listen to me. And I just spellbind my audience into the philosophy, the themes, and the ideas that I'm sharing with them. And spellbinding is, I believe it so completely that they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I am so enamored with what I'm talking about, so delighted in what I'm talking about. Everyone listening to me says, oh, that was such an interesting talk. That was so fantastic. And this talk was about their life. The talk was about their world. The talk was about who they were. But you see, only when you respect and honor yourself as the Mozart and Shakespeare that you are, that you write beautifully without references, that you present music note perfect without an eraser. That can be done. That can be done when it is you. And you can do that. Now, are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Are you ready to have the greatest time of your life?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's up to you. I'm a Mozart. I'm a Shakespeare. And so are you. So is everybody. When we get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. How true that was. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful life, a wonderful forever. Because you're Mozart. You're Shakespeare. If you remember, Shakespeare had no personal life. Nobody knew who Shakespeare was. Now, Mozart had no personal life until a few people tried to give him a personal life. And they told all of the negative things that they could tell. Mozart's greatest challenge was having the time to write his music, because he made a mistake. He made a mistake. He had a father and mother. He had a wife and a child, I believe. And all of these things were distractions, keeping him from the flow that he was. But even with all the distractions, he was note perfect in every presentation, because when it was he and his music, there was nothing that could stop him from the perfection that he was. Again, have a lovely day. And know, I love you. I love you. I love you.